of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That glory may dwell in your land. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord says, I think thoughts of peace toward you, and not of affliction. Call upon me, and I will hear you, and I will bring you back from every place
of your captivity.
Father, we thank thee that thou hast hitherto granted us peace and graciously spared us from war and foreign dominion. We pray thee, graciously let us continue to live in thy fear, according to thy will, giving no cause for wars or other punishments. Govern and direct our magistrates that they may not hinder the obedience due to thee, but maintain righteousness that they may enjoy happiness and blessing under their government. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Our Old Testament lesson is found in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, the 3rd through the 10th verse. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of waters. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others.
Whoever walks the road, though a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
The king's daughter shall be brought to the king. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace.
The epistle lesson is found in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the 1st through the 11th verse. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes like a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Alleluia.
The gospel lesson for this day is found in the 25th chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 13th verse. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Here ends the gospel. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father.
by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 67.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the Gospel, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Here ends our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, the year of God's grace, this year, is coming to its end. And soon, God willing, we will begin another. This past year has been a year of grace because we have been blessed with the mercies of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. God has been good to all of us. He has provided for us the bread of heaven, His holy word, and His sacraments. Here He gives us His Holy Spirit, and His Spirit gives to us the gift of faith. And this faith which He gives is that which constantly trusts in the promises which God has given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. The promises of the forgiveness of sins, salvation, and everlasting life. Our bodies continue to grow old, and eventually they will fall asleep. That is, they will die. But the Holy Spirit remains with us even through the sleep of death. Though we may have many more years of grace remaining, or maybe just a few, or none at all, the end for all of us shall all be the same. The cry will go out into all the world, "The bridegroom, Jesus Christ, has come. Prepare to meet him." That is the glorious day for which we hope. And yet as we hear the words of our Lord, we find out that not all shall meet Jesus in the same way on the last day. There are some here in the kingdom of grace, that is, in the visible church, some who are wise and some who are foolish. Those who are foolish are not prepared when Jesus comes again, and they will soon find themselves shut out of the wedding feast. They will hear those terrible words, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Let us learn this lesson well as we continue to live in our year of grace. For our time of sleeping has not yet come, and therefore there is still time to make ready for the coming of our Lord. God's word uses many pictures for this day. Our time here as we await the Lord's return is pictured throughout the Old Testament as our captivity in this world where we live as a foreign people, oppressed on all sides by those who hate us. And yet we need not despair because our time of captivity will come to an end, and even our Lord has already prepared for us a way, a straight way in which only the righteous shall walk, because the Lord brings them on that way. He will send His deliverer who hears their prayers, who hears the cry of His people, and brings them into the promised land of heaven, rescuing them from all of the temptations which assault them. All the tears of shame and regret and pain and longing, He will turn into tears of gladness on that day. And then we shall know the joy of eternal life. But next to that picture is one that we hear in our gospel lesson. One that is most dear to our Lord Jesus because he visits it repeatedly in the Gospels. That of a wedding. The wedding customs which Jesus described here are not familiar to us. When we think of a wedding, we think of the ceremony, the vows and the rings, the I do's and the I now pronounce you husband and wife. But when you go back and travel to the days of Jesus and the apostles, you would not find such a wedding at all. There is no ceremony, or anything resemble what we would call today a church wedding. Instead, their weddings began with a promise made between the parents of the bride and the bridegroom, and between the bride and groom themselves. And then, in a brief period in between, the betrothal, which was generally much shorter than our modern-day engagements, the bridegroom goes away to the father's house, to his father's house. And there, he prepares a dwelling place, a room for himself and for his bride. And when he has made all things ready for her, he returns to the house of the bride to bring her back to his own home. There are no vows or rings then because the promises have already been made in the betrothal. And now it only awaited the consummation of the marriage and the feast which attended it, a feast which lasted for days, and in which all the friends and the family joined in, much as we do today, just lasted a lot longer. And when the bridegroom comes, the ladies-in-waiting, the virgins who are the friends of the bride, rise up and they greet the bridegroom as he comes, and then the bride and the groom and all who are attending, the friends and the family, they travel together in a grand procession to the bridegroom's house, where the wedding feast is prepared and waiting for them. With this beautiful image in mind, you can see how it is with Jesus and his church. He has betrothed himself to us. The vows have already been made, and we belong to him, and he belongs to us. Our betrothal was our baptism. And now we are joined to him by this promise. But the wedding feast has yet to begin. We are now in the time of preparation, for Jesus has gone away to his Father's house to prepare a place for us. He has gone away, but he has not abandoned us, for just as with a Jewish wedding in that day, he has gone so that he can come again and receive us unto himself, so that we will always be together with him. And then shall begin the feast. And it will not last just for days, but for eternity. In this parable, we see Jesus especially draws attention now to the ladies-in-waiting, the friends of the bride, the 10 virgins. And he uses them without making a distinction between the bride and the virgins. He says, "This is where I would direct you to see how it is with the kingdom of heaven in this world, and how it shall be when the Son of Man comes." What distinguishes, we see that where we have these 10 virgins here, not all of them are the same. Not everyone who is there assembled together, awaiting the coming of the bridegroom, has a rightful place in the wedding party. What distinguishes them from each other, we cannot see. Some are wise and some are foolish. That means that on the outside they all look alike. They all have the external form of the Christian life. They are called virgins. They have their lamps with them. This means they all confess the faith. They all perform the same external works that all men can see. But the difference between them cannot be seen. Just as you cannot see wisdom or foolishness, so also you cannot see what's inside their lamps, that some have oil, but others have no oil. Throughout the Bible, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and it is that way here also. It is a symbol also of faith, because the Holy Spirit and faith are always together, and they're never apart. No one can have the Spirit of God without faith, and it is not possible to have faith without the Holy Spirit. And so the 5 wise virgins are not wise because they're smarter or better educated, but because they have the Holy Spirit, They have oil in their lamps, whereas the foolish virgins are foolish, that is, literally, stupid, because they are entirely without the Holy Spirit. They think that their lamps will work just fine without oil. Now, of course, that really is stupid. It would be like buying a car and not putting any gas in it and still expecting the car to run. No one would be surprised when it would turn over but not start. And so with these lamps, just as you would expect, when the foolish virgins light their lamps as the cry goes out, "Arise to meet the bridegroom," their lamps will not stay lit. The wick is dry, and so it quickly burns out. That's the only thing that can happen. No lamp will burn without the fuel or energy it needs. Yet somehow people imagine that it must be different with the Christian life, that as long as you look and act like a Christian, doing and saying the right things, that when Christ appears, you will have the right fruits to show for it. The fire of your lamp will burn brightly. But of course, it never works. Without faith, it is impossible to do anything good at all. Without the Holy Spirit, your wick smolders and it goes out. Now, what do you suppose the proper thing to do is? What is to do when your lamp is going out? If you were to follow the advice of the world, or of your flesh, or for that matter of most churches, they will tell you that you just need a bigger match. In other words, try harder. Do more good works. Make a stronger effort. Dedicate yourself and your life more fervently to your Lord and to the work that he gives to you. And then you'll have something finally to show. Then your lamp will burn more brightly. But all of this is foolish. Works do not produce works. Faith produces works. You can't wish faith into your heart or lift yourself up by your own bootstraps or pretend that you have the Holy Spirit. It won't do any good. It's just as foolish as carrying around an empty lamp and expecting it to still light and burn. But how then do you prepare? Where do you get the oil, since you can't make it yourselves? You can't wish it into existence. Well, just as you must purchase oil from those who sell it, you can only get the Holy Spirit from those who have it, from those who preach the gospel and administer the sacraments of Christ. That is where faith and the Holy Spirit can be found. And the wonderful part is that these things cannot be bought because they are free and are given away. In the time between, while we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the time to prepare, to go to those who buy and sell, to fill your lamps with oil. And so, as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has entrusted all of us to the ministry of preaching and the sacraments, because that is where we receive the oil for our lamps, his Holy Spirit. For wherever the word and sacraments of Jesus are, where they are faithfully given and taught to us, that is where the Holy Spirit is. And though we cannot see it any more than we can see wisdom or foolishness, we know that he is there because he has promised us that he is there. Therefore, if you would be prepared to meet the bridegroom, don't waste your time shining up your lamp, but make sure instead that it is well stocked with oil. You may fool men for a time, saying, "Look at this beautiful lamp. Look at the wonderful work of this Christian." And all of that will be fine for the time, but it will be useless on the last day when Jesus comes again. He is not interested in how pretty your lamp is or how big a match you're trying to use to light it, but in what is inside of it. Do you believe his word? Do you daily repent of your sins and believe the gospel? Do you receive the absolution of your pastor and believe that Jesus himself has forgiven your sins? The kingdom of God is not in the externals, the shiny lamps, the eating and drinking of the right foods, but in righteousness, peace, and joy. The fruit of the Spirit is the righteousness of faith. Faith which believes the promises which God gives to you in Jesus Christ. Seek these things, and everything else will follow. And seek them today. You do not know when it shall be your time.
to fall asleep. Nor do you know the day and the hour when the Son of Man will return. But even though these things are hidden from you, you do not have to wonder whether your lamp will brightly burn on the last day, so long as you have the oil of the Holy Spirit with you today. You will indeed, unless Jesus comes first, fall asleep just as all men must finally know the sleep of the grave. There will no longer be time to seek out the Holy Spirit, however, when the cry of the trumpet awakes you from your grave. Therefore, while you are awake, seek the oil of the Holy Spirit. Attend to the word and sacraments of your Lord Jesus, where he rightly and freely gives you his Holy Spirit. And then, when the bridegroom comes, and you hear the cry, arise and go out to meet him, your lamps will indeed brightly burn, and you shall rejoice together with the whole Christian church in the eternal feast of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who hast saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to thine own purpose and grace given to us in Jesus Christ before the world began, we thank thee for the abundance of thy mercies, but especially for the gift of thy Son, in whom through his sufferings and cross thou hast abolished death, and through his resurrection brought life and immortality to light. Grant that by thy grace we may ever continue in the things we have learned through thy word, and of which we have been assured by thy Holy Spirit, so that being wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus, we may receive on the day of his coming the crown of righteousness, which he has laid up for all of us and for all who love his appearing. To this end, save us from following after perversions and denials of his truth, and from giving heed to lies, deceptions, and vain philosophies. And as he shall come to judge all the living and the dead, help us to endure in meekness for thy name's sake such pain and adversity as we are called upon to bear, to behold the signs of the times, and to look for the new heavens and earth, which the redeemed of the Lord shall inherit in everlasting joy and gladness. Give strength, therefore, to thy church, that with fervent spirit it might fight the good fight of faith. Give thy blessing to the church's institutions of mercy, and grant thine aid to all who labor therein. Bestow heavenly grace upon our parents, that they may teach their children the way of life in Christ Jesus, and keep the young ever faithful in word and deed. Govern the nations upon earth and plead thine own cause among the multitudes, that they may be turned from sin to righteousness. Look upon our land in mercy, and make us repent of our wickedness, immorality, and materialism. Subdue the evil in our midst, and let thy word flourish so that truth and holiness may prevail. Hear the cry of the afflicted, and give them thy compassionate aid. Make straight paths for them, strengthen the weak, uphold the feeble, and heal the sick. Enlighten them so that they may despise not their chastening, but receiving them in trust and confidence, bring forth the healthful fruits of righteousness and joy. Preserve us all in steadfast faith, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his coming will manifest himself as the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn number 609.
Oh, thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lord.
Take it away.
partake indeed the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. The blood of Jesus shed for you for the remission of your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn 618.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.